Welcome back to Money News right around the country. Great to have your company. Can I tell you, one of the most important reports that comes down into banking has been handed down today. For a long time, I've always understood and told you that there is a conflict of interest when you walk into a bank branch or when you interact with your bank. And that is, the person who is giving you the information could also very well be remunerated for the type of information they provide you to encourage you to buy one of the bank's products. Well, what's happened as a result of many of the scandals into bank mis-selling, and in particular money of the mis-selling in financial advice areas, there has been a big review of remuneration and retail banking. This has been an independent review conducted by Stephen Sedgwick. That report has now been handed down. And the interesting part about this report is almost immediately all of the big banks have come out and said that they will take up the 21 recommendations of this report. Stephen Sedgwick, the author of that report and review, is on the line right now. Many thanks for your time, Stephen.
Welcome, Russ.
Can you just explain the reaction of banks, the fact that they have also willingly adopted your recommendations? Does that suggest that the banks basically have said, look, you know, game's up, we understand we've been doing the wrong thing and we'll now change our behaviour? The question is why they didn't change their behaviour previously.
I guess that's a fair question. I think I'd look at it this way. The banks have asked me to see whether the intention of the future of finance reforms that you were referring to earlier should be extended into the retail banking arena. Now, when I looked at that, we didn't see anything like the same scale or risk, if you like, attached to the remuneration arrangements in retail banking as was the case for financial planners. So there wasn't a case that I could see on the evidence before me that we should ban outright incentive payments for staff in retail banks. So most of them, for tellers, for example, the amounts of money involved are relatively small.
But what you have done, though, is you've certainly made certain that there can be no, mis-selling in the way in which there have been mis-selling scandals in the UK, to make certain that the remuneration is not necessarily directly or increasingly linked to the way in which they sell those products.
That's right. Well, we found that there were some risks attached to particular management practices or to the way the particular remuneration arrangements were structured that were unnecessary and were unacceptable, and we've recommended that they should be stopped. But that's because we wanted to minimise the risk that there would be mis-selling, and the banks have agreed. By the sound, but I haven't seen all of the reactions today. But it seems like lots of the banks have agreed to do that, and I think that's a very good thing. We also found, Ross, though, that it wasn't just remuneration. That I made the point to you that for tellers in particular, for example, the sums at risk are very small. What we found often was that there was a target-driven sales culture sometimes, but certainly a target-driven culture within the institutions. And the way that those targets were communicated, the way that managers were kind of providing feedback about them, the way that the performance of individuals was being managed, was putting an excessive focus on meeting the target rather than necessarily doing the thing that was in the best interest of the consumer. So what we've said to the banks is that they should actually look quite holistically at not just their remuneration structures, but the way they set targets, the way they do their culture within the organisation, the way they develop their leaders and their managers, and the way that they manage performance. It's actually quite a very fundamental recommendation that they look quite broadly at what they do.
So where does the onus come down on the individual customer? Because ultimately, if I walk into Bank A or Bank B, the product that they might each offer me could be quite different. It could have different costs. It could have different structures, a range of different issues. Because not every bank product is the same, nor should they be. There has to be some competitive force in all this. But when you walk into the bank, you trust the individual, the teller, whomever it might be behind the counter, to give you what you'd hope to be the very best product. This is the difficulty here, doesn't it? Because ultimately the customer has got to bear some of the responsibility.
Yes, and I think there's lots of different expectations and there's lots of different understandings of financial products when customers come into the bank. And, you know, for a lot of customers, they believe that banks operate under a social license, and that social license requires that they be judged against a different standard than, for example, when you go and buy petrol. And in some respects, the law does respect that social license difference. But the legal obligations, the intense legal obligations that financial planners have, for example, to operate in the best interests of their customers because of the FOFA reforms don't strictly apply when you go into a bank and you ask for information about the credit card. They're not giving you advice, they're just giving you factual information.
The whole issue of general advice or factual information is obviously becomes a little more difficult when it comes to superannuation. And I noticed today that the industry super funds have come out and indicated that they believe banks must address the cross-selling of compulsory superannuation urgently. And effectively, they're saying that in this particular case, the general advice does not necessarily lead the customer with the best superannuation solution, and yet the cross-selling will keep on going.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't specifically look at that issue. What I certainly did look at is that in some circumstances, not every bank, in some circumstances, some staff can be remunerated on their capacity to cross-sell. Maybe wealth products, it may be commercial credit insurance, might be a credit card, might be a mortgage, you know, it could be general house insurance. And we've made the same observation that you should not link remuneration directly to the ability to cross sell. And when you measure good customer outcomes, then you shouldn't define customer outcomes in terms of the number of cross sales. And we found that sometimes that the banks were attributing a good outcome to cross sales, and we've suggested that they might want to look at that.
I'll tell you what, and when this is implemented, when I walk into the bank, when you walk into the bank, how would you expect somehow we'd be treated differently to how we're being treated today?
Well, I'm actually pretty confident that for a lot of individual bank staff, they're highly ethical people, and you'll be treated no differently because that's the way they've always behaved. The important part around this, though, is to ensure that the systems are put in place to always favour ethical behaviour over behaviour that's in the interest of increasing the pay of the person that you're dealing with. It's the dealing with the system that's important here. So if this is done properly, then I think what you'll find is the customer satisfaction will rise because their perception of the bank, the institution, the bank always acting in their best interests will be much more firmly implanted in their mind than it may currently be.
I'll tell you, Steve Sedgwick, the former Public Service Commissioner appointed by the Australian Bankers Association to do this review into the banks. They've all taken it up very, very quickly. We appreciate your time here on the program this evening.
Okay, thank you, Russ.